بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله today we will go over the last part of the of this quarter, the quarter of the destructive things. You know, this is page number 239, and غرور would be the last chapter in the quarter of the destructive things, المهلكات. And غرور is different from عجب, and both are different from كبر. كبر would be pride, right? عجب would be self-conceit. غرور would be what? Arrogance is the common translation for it. However, even though it implies arrogance, arrogance is not the best translation for غرور. Self-importance? No, out of the ones that he mentioned here, you probably want self-deceit, or self-seduction, or self-deception. So self-deceit, self-deception, self-seduction would be the best translations for غرور. Because غرور is not about being arrogant like proud type thing. غرور, you are deceiving yourself. In other words, if we translate it in a sentence, غرور would be holding on to a misconception that is favorable to you, but it is a misconception. And you may feel that it is a misconception, but it is favorable to you. And if we want to understand what غرور means, we can actually go through the Quran, the ayat in the Quran that talk about غرور, غرّة. غرّة in the Quran will mean deceived. And Al-Gharur in the Quran would be the chief deceiver. And Ghurur in the Quran would then be the self-deception. So Al-Gharur, وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, and deceived you or deluded you away from the path of Allah, Al-Gharur. Al-Gharur is, in this case, the shaitan. And that's the chief deceiver, is a shaitan. So if you look like in Surah Ali Imran, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul shall taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and you will be given the recompense of what you do on the day of judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, so whoever is spared from the hellfire or moved away from the hellfire, literally, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and was admitted into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازْ, he had won. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, and this worldly life is nothing but a deceiving enjoyment. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, مَتَاعُ, it could be goods, it could be property, it could be chattels, goods, the goods of غرور, the goods of deception, or the deceiving enjoyments, if you will. So, in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, Allah tells us of a غرور, tells us of what makes us deceived, or what deceives us, and tells us the remedy. Where does he tell us about what makes us deceived? Where in this ayah? Every soul shall taste the dust. This ayah is not in front of you. It's not in the book. Every soul shall taste dust, and you shall be given your recompense on the day of judgment. Whoever is moved away from an-nar and admitted into paradise shall will have won. And this worldly life is nothing but a deceiving enjoyment. Where is the remedy and where is the cause of the disease? In this ayah. I'm sorry. So, let's go back. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul shall taste death. You said that 12th is the, you know, right from the ayah, it says the الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, it says the worldly life. That is the cause. And right from the ayah, it tells you, the beginning of the ayah tells you the treatment. Remember that it is ending. Remember that it is transient. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة. And you will be given the recompense of your deeds on the day of judgment. فمن زحزح عن النار. Whoever is moved away from النار, the hellfire, وأدخل الجنة and admitted into the hellfire, into the Jannah, the paradise, he had won. So it tells you, you know, remember it's transient. Remember that you will be held accountable for everything that you do. And remember that it is al-Jannah wa al-Nar. And there is no third place that you can go to, but al-Jannah and al-Nar. So if you remember these things, then the hayat dunya will not deceive you. Will not deceive you. In Surah Fatir also it says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالَدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. O people, fear Allah, or show piety, or be dutiful to Allah. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا, and fear a day. لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. A man will be of no benefit for his son, nor the son will be of any benefit for his father. So let the worldly life not deceive you or delude you away from the path of Allah, and let the chief deceiver not deceive you. Al-Gharur, the chief deceiver, not delude you away. إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقِّ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقِّ The promise of Allah is true. So let life not deceive you away from the path of Allah, nor the shaitan. In this ayah, where is the cause and where is the remedy? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَاخْشَوْا يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. O people, be dutiful to your Lord and fear a day in which a man will be of no benefit for his son, nor the son will be of any benefit for his father. إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Most certainly the promise of Allah is true. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Let the حياة الدنيا not delude you away. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And let the shaitan, الغرور, achieve. The chief deceiver, let him not delude you away from the path of Allah. Where is the cause? Where is the remedy? And the third one, the word of the life, لا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا. Let الحياة الدنيا not deceive you. ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. And let the shaitan not deceive you. الغرور, الشيطان, the chief deceiver. Yes, the third. Yes, the third is the lineage. So do not count on your lineage, because that can delude people away. That can deceive people. That can make people think, you know, my father is so and so. My father. That is what the Prophet ﷺ said to Fatima. Ya Fatima, tu, اعملي لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. O Fatima, do righteousness. I shall be of no benefit for you before Allah, or you know, in front of Allah. So he shall be of no benefit for her unless she does righteousness. And then if she does righteousness, then, you know, الذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم. And those who believed and their descendants follow them in righteousness, we will make their descendants catch up with them, or we will make their descendants reach their ranks. So certainly he will be of benefit for her if she does righteousness. But if she doesn't do righteousness, then he was not of any benefit for Abu Lahab, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was not of any benefit for Abu Talib, or anyone of his family who died. Even if he was of partial benefit to Abu Talib, he interceded for him to have a lighter punishment on the day in the Nar, in the hellfire, but not to be spared of the hellfire. So eventually, it is eventually eternity in the hellfire for him. So But he was of benefit for Abu Talib and not Abu Lahab, because Abu Talib gave victory not only to the Prophet, to Islam in general, through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet intercede for him. But as for Abu Lahab, who was, you know, a great obstacle before Islam, the Prophet, the fact that he's the uncle of the Prophet, did not make any difference for him. So that is the cause here in this ayah. This ayah puts our finger on certain causes that delude people away from the path of Allah and make them deceived. You know, ghurur is then self-deception. You know, the ayat show us that what is meant by ghurur is self-deception, that there are certain things that deceive you and cause you to have a misconception. That misconception is likable, is favorable to you, but it is going to destroy you. And then in Surah Fatir, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُم بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورُ. We have gone over this meaning, or those meanings, they are in the previous surah, Surah Luqman. In Surah Al-Jathiyah, it says, ذَلِكُمْ بِأَنَّكُمْ اتَّخَذْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. That is because you will be destined to the hellfire, because you have taken the signs of Allah for jest. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and the word of the life deceived you. وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, and the chief deceiver deluded you away from Allah. So the causes that are mentioned here are the same causes, and add to them, making fun of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or taking the signs of Allah for jest or for mockery. That is a cause of destruction. The remedy is to treat the signs of Allah with respect. The remedy of ghurur is to treat the signs of Allah with respect. If you get gray hair in your beard or your head, that's a sign from Allah. You have to take it seriously, take it with respect. You find that some people get more wicked when they get older. And, you know, sign after sign after sign is coming to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ignore it. That's not just the only sign, but that's one of the signs. It is one of the signs that you're getting closer. You know, a man met one of the righteous predecessors, met a man, and he said to him, "Kam ata alayk, how many years, how old are you?" And he said 60 years. And he said, "You know, you have been traveling to Allah, you have been on a path traveling to Allah for 60 years, you are about to reach." And the man was, you know, sort of touched with the words, and he said to him, "What could I do?" He said, تُحْسِنُ فِي مَا بَقَى يُغْفَرُ لَكَ أَوْ فِي مَا بَقِيَ أَوْ بَقِيَ يُغْفَرُ لَكَ مَا بَقِيَ وَمَا مَضَى فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ أَسَأَتْ فِي مَا بَقِيَ أُخِذْتَ بِمَا بَقِيَ وَبِمَا مَضَى. You do good in that which is left, so that you'll be forgiven for the past. You do good in the future, so that you'll be given for the past. For if you do bad in the future, you'll be seized by Allah, punished by Allah. Not only for the future, but for the past as well. Not only for the future, but for the past as well. So in this case, you take the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remedy of ghurur in this case, or this self-deception, is that you take the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. Any sign that is sent to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs on Allah's existence, the signs on His greatness, the signs on His punishment of the wrongdoers and the wicked, all of those signs, you must be taking them seriously. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, "Do not enter the dwellings of the people who were destroyed unless you are crying or attempting to cry. Because if you just go like and pass by them casually and go look at the pyramids and, you know, the Sphinx and stuff like that, and you pass by these places casually without letting the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are those people now? What was the end of those people? What was the end of those destroyed nations? if you don't take this seriously and you just pass by and you're looking around and you're happy with your tour, that is taking the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly and not seriously. And that is a cause of destruction. So you have to take the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. Then in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the two groups of people, the group that will be, you know, inside the barrier, then the group will be outside the barrier. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ بَطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُنْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمْ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورُ. Then a barrier or like a fence will be raised between them. It has a door. Inside of it, there is mercy. Those are Ahlul Jannah. Outside of it, there is torment. Those are Ahlul Nar. يُنَادُونَهُمْ. They will call upon them. You know, Ahlul Nar will call upon Ahlul Jannah. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites of Ahlul Nar, will call unto Ahlul Jannah. Have we not been with you? Have we not been around with you? You know, they lived with them and so on, and they acted like they were Muslims. They will say, yes, you were. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But you caused them, you tempted away from the path, you tempted yourselves away from the path of Allah. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. And تَرَبَّصْتُمْ is like you waited around, they were sort of waited around, waited the defeat of the Muslims. They waited for the defeat of the Muslims. They waited for any problem to happen to the Muslims. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ. And you had doubt. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. And the wishes deceived you. Your wishes deceived you until the decree of Allah had come and befallen you. وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And the chief deceiver deluded you away from the path of Allah. So where is the remedy and where is the cause here? Where is the cause and the remedy? There are many causes here. The hypocrites did so much to themselves. They ruined themselves in so many ways. They tempted themselves away. They waited around for the defeat of the Muslims or the defeat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and looked forward to it. وَارْتَبْتُمْ. And then they had doubts and they did not treat their doubts. And that is one important thing that you really have to be aware of. If you don't treat your doubts, if you have doubts about anything in the religion and you don't treat your doubts, that doubt can come back and haunt you and destroy you and completely wipe out your faith and your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. And then the wishes. Al-amani, what wishes here? All of us can be deceived by wishes. The wish of the hypocrites was what? That the Prophet will be defeated and, you know, that they'll get control of the Medina one more time and so on and so forth. But what wishes could be deluding us away from the path of Allah or from being dutiful to our Lord, Azza wa Jal? Yes, for many Muslims, they think that, you know, I am Muslim, so I say, La ilaha illallah, Rasulullah, that's it. I'm, you know, guaranteed a pass to the heavens. And these are the vain wishes. If you don't act according to La ilaha illallah, Rasulullah, if you don't uphold La ilaha illallah, Rasulullah, you can never guarantee that you will die as a believer, that you can die, you know, on the path. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, if I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept one sajda from me, I would have relied on it. I would have relied on this one sajda. Because he then said, because إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He quoted the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Most certainly Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, the pious. So if that is one thing that could be deceiving us in this life. is that we're Muslims, and so we rely on saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and you find some of us to be the most wicked, and then they still, you know, they feel quite certain about, you know, getting to paradise. And that is, these are the vain wishes. Until the decree of Allah had come, and the chief deceiver, and the chief deceiver is repeated over and over in many ayat, al-gharur, the shaitan, the devil. Because that's his function in this life, is to deceive people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to sort of, you know, let them live with those delusions that they have, you know, the delusion of, you know, I do a lot of hasanat, I have gone to Hajj 7 times, or at least I pray five times a day, I look at the people around me, at least I fast in Ramadan, and look, there are so many people who don't. So those are delusions, those are misconceptions that you like to believe in, you like to believe that you are good, and this is what I do, and this is what I do. And then you completely overlook and neglect and ignore all of the wickedness that you fall in. You only remember your good deeds. Because there is so much wickedness that we commit, you know, with sort of like, you know, I don't want to exaggerate and say with every breath, but there's so much wickedness that we commit. You commit wickedness by your heart. And how much wickedness do we commit by our hearts? You know, if you look at the diseases of the heart and the impact of such diseases and on the faith and on one's iman, there are enormities. And we commit such sins regularly, and the sins of the tongue and the sins, you know, just if you wink at someone, that could be a sin that you, like a bad wink. You wink to someone about someone else. That is a bad sin that you may not pay attention to, but it may earn you like an enormous sin. And that is, these are many things that we really don't pay attention to. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid as well, this is the verse that I repeat so often with you, is أَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but this is the verse about this life. You know that this life is about amusement and play and you know, mutual boasting between you, seeking abundance and children and wealth. The likeness of this hayah or this life is like a rain. The vegetations therewith please the farmers, and then it becomes it dries out and it becomes yellow, and then it gets destroyed. And that is the example of this life. ثم يجف طرفه مصفرة ثم يكون حطاما في الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. And in the hereafter there is great torment, and there is forgiveness from Allah and pleasure. And this worldly life that I gave you the example of in this verse is nothing but a deceiving enjoyment. Because look at the worldly life, look at the plant, and look at how it crumbled away very quickly. Look at how very transient was the life of the plant. You know, when the green, growing, you know, developing plant, that was very transient, but then it crumbled away, it turned, dried out, it became yellow, and it turned into hay, and it was completely destroyed. So, as we said before, that this is exactly like the human being that is born with, like, you know, everyone wants them to live, and everyone is happy about their birth, and they look good as babies, and everyone likes how babies look, and then they turn, you know, they dry out slowly, slowly, slowly. And we said that they literally dry out, and the water, they lose water, the water in their bodies, until they crumble away. They dry out, they wrinkle out, and then they decay in the graves. So that is the example of life. So should this life then deceive you? It is nothing but a deceiving enjoyment. So that enjoyment is a deceiving enjoyment. It is not real because if it is not permanent, then it is not significant. Because everything that has an end has an end. Everything that will come to an end is transient and is ultimately insignificant. The only thing that is ultimately significant is that which does not have an end, permanent. That's the hereafter. Then maybe we talked about, you know, some of the causes and some of the remedies of al-ghurur. We will not go into the small details of what Imam Ibn Qudamah said here because we don't have time. But the categories of those afflicted with ghurur, he mentioned several categories of those afflicted with ghurur. The first category he mentioned is the scholars. And he said that the scholars could be afflicted with this because knowledge is very honorable in Islam and it has a very high position in Islam. So when you attain knowledge, you could be deceived by this knowledge that you attain. If you do not watch over yourself and do not watch over your deeds, you could be deceived. You could think that you're honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this knowledge. And yet you are not paying attention not only to your inside, but sometimes scholars also do not pay attention to the outside. They don't pay attention to halal and haram. No, neither on the inside or the outside. And those scholars would be just like, they would turn knowledge into ostentation, and they turn knowledge into like mere theory. Nothing do they benefit of it. And then there are the scholars who have the knowledge and then they apply it on the outside, but they neglect the inside. So they apply it on the outside, not meaning that they're hypocrites, but they apply it when it comes to the rules and regulations. But they neglect the inside, meaning neglect the interior. They neglect the heart and the diseases of the heart, which can overwhelm you and can overwhelm your faith, even if you were practicing. It is not enough to pray and fast. It is important to purify your heart of pride, to purify your heart of arrogance, to purify your heart of rancor, to purify your heart of riya, you know, showing off and seeking abundance in this life and wanting to earn a position in the people's hearts. If you do not devote your heart to Allah, dedicate it completely to Allah, then you are in danger. If your heart has not been devoted, then you should continue to work hard until it is devoted. Because if you leave a small corner in your heart for the shaitan, then you're threatened because the shaitan can take over this heart quickly. So that is the scholars. And then he talks about the worshippers. And he says the second category, worshippers. Ghurur may also beset some worshippers of Allah. Some of them may be too meticulous in fulfilling some acts of worship to the extent that is counterproductive. Or to the extent that counterproductive results may be the only fruit they can ever get from their worship. For example, one of them may be so meticulous concerning the takbirat al-ihram, saying Allahu Akbar at the beginning of the prayer, that he may miss the first rak'ah of the congregational prayer. Other worshippers may be very picky maybe very meticulous when reciting the Quran, to the extent that one of them may totally concentrate on the recitation itself, especially the correct pronunciation of sounds, which he's always not sure if he has made it correctly or not. Due to this over-carefulness, this worshipper may not pay any attention to the meaning of the Quran. And that is what the Sahaba used to forbid the Tabi'in from. And تَهُذَّ الْقُرْآنَ هَذَّ, to recite the Qur'an quickly, with a good voice, quickly, without actually paying attention to the meanings. That is not to say that to perfect the recitation and to correct your recitation is not important. It is important. We should try to recite the Qur'an as the Prophet recited it, as much as we can. But what it means here is, like I told you when we were talking about the prayer, and we were talking about, you know, making your toes face the Qibla, if this will detract from your concentration in the prayer, then don't worry about this part. We should try to do this part as much as we can. This is the sunnah, the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and we imitate him as much as we can. But if you will be in pain, your toes will be hurting, you'll be in pain throughout the tashahud, and you will not be able to finish your prayer in tranquility and peace and concentrate on your prayer and contemplate the meanings of what you're reciting, then skip that part, because that part is not mandatory. And try to focus on your, in your prayer. That will be more conducive to benefiting from your prayers. Another section of worshippers are very keen on reading the Quran, so much that one of them may finish the whole text twice a day, but their hearts are filled with vain wishes and not with the meanings of the Quran. Another section of worshippers observe so much fasting, but they harm people with their tongues, break their fasting with unlawful food and drink, and their fasting is not free from riya. So, you know, they fast every day, so they are deceived. They are deceived because they think that there is no one like me. You know, I'm fasting every other day. Who else is doing it? Yet, he's not paying attention that he's not, you know, cultivating the fruit of fasting or cultivating the fruit of prayers. And he just keeps on going, and he's not cultivating the fruit and not paying attention to his growth, to his spiritual growth, which should be the product of this fasting and should be the product of these prayers. So those also are deceived by the worship. These are the worshippers who are deceived by their worship. Some of the other worshippers also, they sort of pick certain acts of worship that they like, and they keep on doing them, or that they can afford, or that they feel good about. And that is a trap of the shaitan. Because, you know, some people, for instance, feel good when they are in halaqat al-zikr, when they are making zikr, for instance. And then you make zikr, and you make zikr, and you make zikr. Zikr is great. No one would ever dare to say that zikr is not important in Islam or is not great, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But are you paying attention to where you're earning how you're earning your money? Are you paying attention to what your kids are doing and the raising of your kids? Are you paying attention to, you know, lowering your gaze? Are you paying attention to not making ghibah or backbiting? Are you paying attention to all of this? Or are you picking this one type of worship, one act of worship, because it is favorable to your heart? It makes you feel good. And for some people, it is, some people, for instance, fasting makes them feel good. Some people, zikr makes them feel good. So this worship can be their deceiver. This very act of worship, which is an act of obedience, can be their deceiver. Why? Because it makes them think that they are of the selected few. That makes them think that they have attained such a high ranking, such a high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ignore all of the wickedness that they fall into outside of this worship. So that is why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said that ليست التقوى بكثرة الصيالات ولا الصيام والتقليد بين ذلك ولكن التقوى أن تقابل الأمر بالامتثال والنهي بالاجتناب أو كما قال. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said that taqwa is not to fast a lot or pray a lot or to mix between the two. Taqwa is when you meet the command of Allah by obedience and meet the prohibition of Allah by, or, you know, respond to the command of Allah by obedience and respond to the prohibition of Allah by abstinence. That is a taqwa. Taqwa is to do what He wants you to do, what He pleases, not what you please. It is not to select the type of worship that you like, that you please, and then say, I am muttaqi, and then ignore the rest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you to do or forbade you from. And Umar ibn al-Khattab also said that's the grandfather of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with both of them. He said, التقوى أن تستقيم على الأمر والنهي ولا تروغ روغان الثعالب. التقوى is to be steadfast with the commands and the prohibitions of Allah, and you do not beat around the bush like the foxes. That is التقوى, because for some people, they can, you know, they think that they could deceive Allah. They think that they could, you know, use those tricks to get out of, you know, the hukm of Allah or the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can. And those who think so, that they are deceiving only themselves. The third category is the category of al-mutasawwifa, and he said that some people pretend to be true Sufis merely by imitating the latter in uniform words and appearance, without making any effort to strive against their own vain desires. Rather, they indulge into prohibited and doubtful matters and quarrel with one another for the sake of any trivial worldly matter. Another group of them claim that they have knowledge of Allah, the Almighty, and the ability to reveal the truth, and that they are especially close to Allah and the like, while they do not know anything about such matters except their names. Though one of them may think that he has acquired all knowledge and despise true scholars and leading imams, let alone the common people. One of them, the major problems that many Sufis can fall into is this concept of the secret knowledge, or the endowment with special knowledge that is given to them through the Shaykh. It is not for the public, it's not for the masses, it is to be, you know, kept, it's a hidden knowledge, it's to be kept away, because that is not for the public. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, he sent to his viceroy in Medina and said to him, command the scholars to sit down in the masajid and to teach the people and to spread knowledge, for knowledge can only be destroyed when it becomes a secret. And Salaf radhiyallahu alayhim used to say that if you find groups of people sitting alone, you know, in seclusion from the rest of the people, discussing matters of the religion, in seclusion from the rest of the people, know that they are innovators. Know that they are innovators. Because this knowledge is to be spread. This knowledge is to be shared. This knowledge is never to be secret. The knowledge of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim never hid this knowledge. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man katama 'ilman aljamahu Allahu bi jamin min narin yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever withholds knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him wear a leash of fire on the day of judgment. The fourth category, the rich are the fourth category of those who are mostly afflicted with the flaw of ghurur. Some of them are keen on constructing mosques, schools, and the like, but they insist that these buildings should be named after them, so that their names may remain in worldly life forever. If any of them is asked to construct any of such buildings without naming it after him, he will not accept it in any way. Some of the rich people do not spend from their wealth in charity out of miserliness, and are keen on performing physical acts of worship that do not need spending money, such as fasting, prayer, and recitation of the Quran, forgetting that miserliness is such a destructive flaw that cannot be overcome by such voluntary acts of worship. On the contrary, spending money itself may be the best means to overcome miserliness. And everyone is different, and everyone has a different struggle. And if you're a coward, then you are, your treatment is to overcome your defect, your area of defect. It is not to look for some other area to excel in. It is now to overcome this problem. If you have a certain area of weakness, then your attention should be directed to resolving this area of weakness, the resolving this defect, the resolving this flaw, resolving this destructive habit or destructive thought that you have, not to run away from it, and perform some other acts of worship to convince yourself that you're good. Because you leave this habit, or this thought. You leave this miserliness, you leave this cowardness, you leave this pride in your heart, and no matter how much you excel and you hasten to earn reward and to do acts of righteousness, that disease is like it's like a disease in the root of the tree, and you're growing the trunk, you're growing the branches, you're trying to excel, but you forgot that there is a disease in the root of the tree. And no matter what, if you don't treat this disease, no matter how much you grow the tree, it will all crumble away. Once the disease comes to the point, the threshold where it overcomes the health, or overwhelms the health of the root. Another group of the well-to-do people attend religious lectures and lessons, but do not translate the preaching they receive into actions, thinking that mere attendance is sufficient for them to be dutiful worshippers. These forget that religious lectures and lessons are originally delivered to drive people to work righteousness. So they are capable. They have the time to go to attend lectures because they don't have to worry about making ends meet, and they are capable, and they have cars to drive to the masjid. But then they think that this is it. We've come, we've gone, we've done our part, and that's it. And that is not uncommon amongst people who are wealthy. Those of them who do still have some righteousness or goodness, because he's not talking about the most wicked people who don't even come near the masjid. He's talking about the people who have enough righteousness to still want to save themselves, but they are being deceived and they are not paying attention to what is deceiving them. They are being deceived by attending these functions. They are being deceived by these acts of worship that they do. They are being deceived by, looking a certain way, or acting zahid, or acting like the disinterested in life, and they are being deceived by their knowledge, which they are not translating into action. So all of these are deceivers, and the worldly life and its enjoyments is a deceiver. The vain wishes, the wishes of, I am son of so-and-so, the wishes of Allah is most generous and most forgiving, and not remembering that Allah's torment is most severe. All of those vain wishes, these are deceivers. And the chief deceiver is the shaitan, because the shaitan is the one that uses all of these to delude you away from the path of Allah, as he intended, and as he said in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day he was commanded to prostrate before Adam alayhi as-salam. So that is what ghurur is about. Ghurur is about self-deception, self-deceit, self-seduction. And these are some of the remedies and some of the causes and some of the remedies. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who have complete recognition of the truth, and those who follow the truth, and those who will be spared, moved away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.